Nichir, Parshas Emor. Which is the most serious of all averas? The Gemara says in Seches Yoma Daf Pevav that Rav Masya ben Charash asked Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah in Rome, Shamata Harbach Hiluki Kapar Shayer Rabbi Shmuel Dareish. Did you hear about the four divisions of atonement that Rabbi Shmuel was darshaning? So he said back to Mamar, Shloshahein, there's really three divisions. Uchuva im kol echad vechad. And tshuva is necessary with each one. Avar al mitzvah sase v'shav. A person transgresses a positive, does not do a positive mitzvah. Says the Gemara, ein zaz misham ad shemochalim lo. If he, as long as he does tshuva v'shav, that's it. He won't leave there unforgiven. He'll be forgiven, for sure. Next chiluk, avar al lo tase v'yasa tshuva. A person transgressed a negative commandment, a lo tase, and he did tshuva. Tshuva itself is not enough. That's just going to put him in abeyance. Yom Kippurim mechaper. Until Yom Kippur comes, then in fact he'll have his kapar. He needs tshuva and Yom Kippur. Next, avar al krisus umisus based in v'asa tshuva. If a person did more severe, more serious averas, ones that were punishable with krisus or the death penalty, then tshuva and Yom Kippurim, both of them is still not enough. It's tolim, he's in abeyance. Misurin memrachim, until he suffers. He needs physical suffering, and then that'll afford his kapara. Finally, aval, says the Gemara, mishiyesh chilul Hashem biyado. Somebody, however, who has chilul Hashem in his hand, knows he did something which is a chilul Hashem. What's a chilul Hashem? Says Rashi, shechote u'machti acharim. That not only did he do something wrong, but he caused other people to sin as well. Ein lo koach b'tshuva litlos. V'lo b'yom ha'kippurim l'chaper. V'lo b'yisurim l'marek. It's not going to help him his tshuva, or Yom Kippur, or even suffering. Ela kulan tolin umisa mimarekes. Rather, all of them are going to hold him in abeyance until he dies. Only his death, misa, is going to cleanse him of this serious avera. And the Gemara says, Hechidami chilul Hashem. What's an example of chilul Hashem? An extreme case. Amar Rav, kagonani. Rav said, I would be an example. Imekach, let's say I would go, and I would purchase some meat from a butcher, and I wouldn't pay right away. I would take it on credit. Rashi says, Ukashani mechel lifroa, hu omer shani gazlan. Since I don't pay right away, a person might think, look at me and say, oh, why isn't Rav paying? Ah, he must be stealing. And that person who sees is going to learn from me and to take stealing, the sin of stealing, lightly. So therefore, he's also a machti acheri, making other sin. Rabbi Yochanan said, kigonani, he gives another example. Let's say I would walk 4 amos without learning Torah and without wearing my tefillin. Rashi says, "Ve'ena kol yodim shenechalashti begirsati." People don't know that the reason why I'm doing this is only because I became weak. I was learning so much, I needed a little break. It's chilul Hashem because again, people are going to learn from me. They're going to learn that, oh, I guess I don't have to learn all the time, and they're going to learn to mevatel from Torah. So he says, it's unbelievable. Why? He says, imagine, therefore, if you have two Jews in front of you. One of them is a constant sinner. He has every sin. There's no sin that he hasn't done. Avodah Zarah, Gilui Araya, Shfichus Dami, everything. And he doesn't do any mitzvahs either. But he doesn't have Chilul Hashem. Why? Because people aren't going to learn from him. Everybody knows a rotten Rasha Merusha. So nobody's going to say, oh, if he's stealing, I guess I could steal. No, nobody's going to learn from him. So he doesn't have the sin of Chilul Hashem here. Lehafech, everybody's going to stay away from this guy. And then what? He wants to do tshuva. One day wakes up, oh, I want to do tshuva from all these terrible averas that I did. That's person number one. Person number two is a rav, big chashav rav, with the long white beard. There's no mitzvah that he hasn't that he hasn't done. There's no avera that he's committed, except for one little avera. What was that? One day he was running late for giving his shiur in the yeshiva, and as a result he cut the line. He had to wait in line for the bank or whatever, and he saw that if he waits in line, he's going to be late for the shiur, and there's a Talmud Torah Derabim here we're dealing with, or Bittul Torah Derabim, and he says, so he cuts in line. But what? People learn from him. Oh, I guess you can cut in line. Look, this rabbi's doing it. Well, that's a Chilul Hashem. And if he wants to do tshuva on that only single sin that he did, what did we see? That his tshuva is not going to be accepted. Chil Hashem, only Misa is Mechaper. Whereas this first person that we mentioned, this constant sinner, as long as he has his Yom Kippur and his Yisurin, okay, he'll at least have a kapar. Whereas this holy rabbi, because of the sin of Chil Hashem, won't have a kapar, no matter what. He only his death will bring his kapar. Unbelievable. He says, how is that? What's the idea? Why is it like this? He says, very simple. He says, the whole world was created all for the kavod, for kvod shemayim. As it says, Ubaruch Elokeinu shebaranu lichvodo, and Hashem created us, gave us life for His honor. It's all for the honor of Hashem. And therefore, if a person does an avera that brings along with it chilul Hashem, so he is affecting the whole yesod is the foundation, the basis of creation. And therefore, since a person was created for the kavod of Hashem, and he took away Hashem's kavod, therefore he has no right to live. And that's why only his death will be a kapara. So he concludes and says, so what are we going to say? Okay, at least I'm happy that nobody's looking at me. Nobody's going to learn from me. Who looks at me? He says, you should realize that that's not the case. He says, people are looking, ganz fine, they're looking at us. They all, look at that dati. Look at the dati over there. Look what he's doing. They're looking at us all the time. That's a little cute anecdote. He says, used to take a bus from Chadera every day at pretty much the same hour. And if he got on the same bus with the same bus driver every day to go to Bnei Brak. So he knew him very well. The driver, of course, was a non-religious person. Very, very nice, a nice guy. So one day, he screams out in the bus, Rav Galinsky, hey, come and see, you're your rabbis. Come and see your rabbis. Look here, here's a rabbi of yours. Come and see who your rabbis are. So he said, well, what do you mean, my rabbi? What were rabbis? So what happened? The driver caught a kid, 11-year-old kid, was wearing a kippah, and he did something he shouldn't have done. He went into the back doors without paying. So he caught the kid, the driver caught the kid, and he said to Rav Galinsky, yeah, you see, come and see your rabbis. Hey, look at them. So Rav Galinsky saw, everybody was staring at him. It was a very, tense. It was a tense time. So he wanted to break the tension a little bit. So he said to the driver, I'm going to send you all the Talmidei Yeshiva of Bnei Brak. I'm going to send all the yeshiva people, all the students in the yeshivas, I'm going to send them from Bnei Brak to you. So the driver said, why? So he says, I told them, because why should they learn so many years in order to get the degree of being a rabbi, called a rabbi? I'll bring him to you, and just like that, you should call him a rabbi. I see that even as a little kid, you already gave him a rabbinical degree. You're calling him a rabbi. So he said, everybody, laughed, and it broke the tension. He says, but Lamaisa, the lesson is awesome. He says, to them, we're all rabbanim. We're all rabbanim. Kama ze mechayef. With regards to the union of Chil Hashem, he adds another aspect. It says, the halacha is, as we know, that Betzedek Tishpot Amisecha, that a person has to, we learn from this pasuk, Shadan Es Chavercha L'Chavzchus. Right, a person has to Dan L'Chavzchus, another individual. Mitzvahs asi deraitzos. Mamasha mitzvahs asi derasha, and a sefer mitzvahs. And the chinuch, charedim, they list it as one of the mamasha mitzvah min Torah. You have to judge a person favorably. Now, each mitzvah has their various dinim. Amongst the dinim of dan l'chavschus, the Rambam says, and it's Pirush Mishnayos, and Rabbeinu Yon as well, that if we're talking about a person who is Adam Nodash, who's Tzadik Mefursam, who Bapulot Tatovot, a very famous person for his good deeds. He's a Tzadik, everybody knows him as that. Then, even if you see him doing something which looks out and out wrong, and in order for you to judge him favorably, you have to really, really push it, and come up with some far-fetched explanation of what he's doing that it's really okay, you have to do so. And you're not allowed to be choshed. And the Amru, it's like Gemara says in Shabbos, achoshed b'ksherim lo kebaguf v'vayal mitzvah sase b'derais. And if a person does not judge him favorably, it's meaning that he's choshed b'ksherim, and he's going to be punished physically. The Saga, if he doesn't say this, but I saw Kupshat, it says dan l'chaf schus, a kaf in Hebrew, means a spoon, could be a spoon. In this case, it means like in a scale, you have the two sides are also of the scale, or the bowls are called the kaf. But another explanation of the word kaf in Hebrew also can mean a shoehorn. It's also called a kaf, where you put your, shoehorn when you put your shoes on. So it's heard of Kupshat. It says a person has to dan es chavero lekaf schus. You have to, even like a shoehorn where you stick your foot in your shoe and you're pressing against the shoehorn, pressing against it to get in. That's how much sometimes, like we said, you have to judge your fellow man favorably, even if you have to push it like a shoehorn. Okay. Anyways, back to our inyan. We mentioned before that what's Chilul Hashem? Rabbi Yochanan said, for example, if I would go four amos without Torah and without tefillin. And as we mentioned before, Rashi says that people don't realize that he was only doing this because he was tired, had to take a second or two break, but people are going to learn from that you can mevatel from Torah. Now he says, let's think for a second. Rabbi Yochanan, he learned and he learned and he learned and he learned until he couldn't learn anymore. And he had to take a little break just to, relax for a minute. And he didn't take a big break. He said, if I would go Arba Amos, what's Arba? How long does it take to walk Arba Amos? About a second and a half. He took a second and a half break, and Dafka, at that moment, somebody happened to look at him and says, oh, Rabbi Yochanan's not learning. Oh, I guess I also don't have to learn. But what about the person that saw him? Doesn't he have to be done l'chav schus? Maybe Rabbi Yochanan wasn't learning because he ran out of steam. Or maybe he really was learning. It was just in his mind. You just didn't see him learning. And you have a mitzvah. He has a mitzvah to dalam l'chav schus. Or he said, so what's the idea? So he says, we see that even avadai, that person, he has a responsibility to dalam l'chav schus. But that doesn't mean that you can do something and rely on that person to dan you l'chav schus. You have to make sure that people don't learn from you, or else it's a chilul Hashem. Meaning, fine, you have to stop learning. So just do it, but do it behind closed doors. Don't do it in front of other people. You have to take a little break. Take a break, but make sure nobody sees you. Even if he has, it's true, and binso da dan yu l'chav schus, but you can't rely on him daning yu l'chav schus, even if he must, and it's a mitzvah min Torah, etc. But that's not your business. Your business is that you have to make sure you do it behind closed doors, that nobody learns from you. He concludes, he says, you have sometimes a ben yeshiva or an avrei kolol in the middle of Seder, he schmoozes, he talks, not in learning. Okay, we have to dan yu l'chav schus, that he's doing mitzvah d'oraisa. You have to tell him l'chav schus. What do we have to say? Oh, I'm sure he's very, very tired, like where Yochanan was, so we have to take a little break. And it says, v'nishmartem od l'nafshoseichem, so, you have to, it's dangerous to overdo it, so he's probably taking a little break, and that's all. And in fact, the Gra says, when it comes to the Kinyanei Torah, it says, one of the ways of Kona Torah is b'miyut sicha. So most learn that miyutzicha means don't talk a lot. But he learns as a positive thing that sometimes you have to talk a little bit. But miyutzicha, you got to talk just to air out a little bit. So we done l'chavzchus 100%. But why is he doing it in the Beis Medrash, he says? Let him go behind closed doors in the side room and schmooze over there. Because somebody's liable to look at him and not done him l'chavzchus and learn from him. Say, oh, he's talking. Oh, I guess I can talk. And it's v'chulei. And that's what we said. We said before, it's a big chilul Hashem. So if you have to do it, don't rely on dan l'chavzchus of the other party. Make sure what you do, what you have to do, make sure it's done behind closed doors. Sedra speaks the mitzvah of shofar. Says the Rambam, as we know, Nizyad Chazakah is a sefer halacha, like the Shulchan Aruch. It's a sefer halacha, and therefore he doesn't usually bring rimazim and drushim. And it's halacha. Except we find an exception to this in the mitzvah of Tkiyat Shofar. He writes, quote, Afal pish Tkiyat Shofar and Rosh Hashanah Gzeir Sakasuv. Even though it's a Gzeir Sakasuv that Hashem says, something we can't understand. But remez yeshbo. Remez. Like we said, Rambam doesn't usually write remazim. But here he says there's a remez here. Kolomar. Rusheni mishenaschem. Mishnaschem. Minyardami makitsu mitardemachem. Those that are sleepy, wake up. Chapsu b'maaseichem. Search your ways. V'chizru b'tshuva and do tshuva. V'zichru borachem and remember your creator. Elu ashochim esayemes b'habla yazman. They forget the truth because they're involved with worldly things. V'shogim koshnatam behevel, and they waste their time away in nonsense. Asher lo yu'il v'lo yatzil. Habitu l'nafshachem, look into your souls. V'bitivu darkechem aleichem, and better your ways. V'yazov kol echad mikem darko ha'ra'an, everybody should leave their bad ways. U'machshavato asher lo tova, and their bad thoughts. And Hilchas Tshuva. So once again, very strange. The Rambam doesn't usually write remazim in his Halacha Sefer. Why is he doing so over here? So the answer is that yes, in fact, this is a Halacha Sefer, because what the Rambam wrote here was Halacha. That besides the actual blowing of the shofar, which is of course a mitzvah, part of the mitzvah of Tkiyat Shofar is in fact the fear and the broken heart, the cheshbon and nefesh a person has to make. That is all part of the mitzvah of the halachas of Tkiyat Shofar. It's not enough just to hear the sounds. The sound has to have an effect on him to do tshuva. They learn it from the pasuk. Pasuk says, "Bechodesh Hashvi, bechad lechodesh, yelachem Shabbaton." That's on, of course, Rosh Hashanah, and it says, "Zichron Trua Mikre Kodesh." So Iksava Kabbalah explains that Trua is this lashon of shvira, breaking, like a broken heart. And zichron Trua, what's a zichron? It's the mitzvah of hachnas alei b'tshuva, that a person has to subjugate his heart to do tshuva. That's the zichron of the Trua. So here we have the pasuk itself saying it's not enough just to listen to the shofar. There has to be zichron Trua. A person has to the shofar has to affect the person until he does tshuva. Brings a story that they say over in Navardak. There was once a yelid that kid. He was always late for cheder. Always late for cheder. So they investigated why he was always late for cheder. So he's scatterbrained. You know what happened was every night he would get undressed, throw a sock here, his pants over here, a shirt here, whatever, and in the morning he couldn't find his clothes. So it took him a long time to find the socks, the shoes, or whatever. They're all over the place. Scattered brain, scattered house. And by the time he found everything, he was late for school. So his malamed said, let me give you an eitzah. Here's what you do. So take a piece of paper and a pencil, and before you go to sleep, and when you throw your shoe off, write down where it is. On your sock, write down, my right shoe is here, my left shoe is there, my sock is, one sock is here, one sock is there, pants, that, right where everything is. So therefore, in the morning, you just look at your list, and you'll see where, find everything, because you wrote it down. Ah, wonderful. I'm out of gone. So he did so. He wrote down right shoe here, left shoe here, there, whole thing. And finally, he finished up his list. He says, and I am in my bed, last thing in the last place. And he read Hamapil and he fell asleep. The morning, he got up and washed his hands. And he started going according to the list. Wonderful. Shoe here, there, sock, everything. But ended up that not only was he late for school, he didn't come to school at all. He missed cheder completely. Why? What happened? Well, he went through the whole list, but when he got into the last prat, the last detail of the list that said where he wrote, and I am in my bed, he said, I was looking all over for myself in there, and I couldn't find myself in the bed. So I was late for, missed school completely. So too, he says, somebody who listens to Tkiyat Shofar, Kalacha, listens to all the sounds, but where is he? He's missing. The whole part of the Tkiyat Shofar is for him, so he can find himself and do tshuva, and cheshbon and nefesh. Hearing the shofar, you have the Yom Tshuva, but you don't have the Zichron Tshuva. He says, you're missing the whole point. You have a mashal. There was once a little town, and they had the terrible mock of fires. The fires, those houses were made out of, you know, wood and things like that, and their roofs were made of straw. Poor little town, and it was very susceptible therefore to fires. And every Monday and Thursday, another fire, another house burnt down. So they're trying to think of an eitzah. So they sat down and had a meeting, the leaders of the community, and someone had a bright idea. He said, listen, I know in this big city, how do they take care of this problem? They have what's called a fire department. They have a fire station. They have a fire engine and people working, firemen. And whenever there's a fire, they get called out and they come out with their engines and they put out the fire. So we should have such a thing in our town. So they said, wonderful, great idea. So they sent a couple of representatives, they went to the big city, they saw exactly the firemen, what they do, you know, to jump on the truck and take out their hoses, etc. So they decided to put the town's money into the purchase of a nice red fire engine, and they hired a couple of townsmen to be the firemen, and good. So they're all ready, and the old town was so proud of this big red truck. Oh. So, sure enough, didn't take too long, and they got word, fire! So they jump in their fire engine, and then the sirens are beaming, and everybody's like happy, like, oh, finally, Hashem, the fire's going to be taken care of. And everybody's following this fire truck, and as the sirens are blaring, finally it gets to the scene of the fire, and they jump out, they grab the hoses, the firemen grab the hoses, and they point it towards the fire, and no water comes out. The water comes out, yeah, they didn't fill the tank. So much for the fire, so much for the house. So they said, what's going on? They screamed at him, what's going on? He said, what are you guys getting up so upset about? Come on, they said, that at least the siren worked. The siren worked. What good is a siren if there's no water? So too over here, what good is the blowing of the shofar of the Yom Teruah if there's no Zichron Teruah? If there's no tshuva, which the shofar is supposed to bring to, well, what good is all the noise? It's a siren. It has to bring to the tshuva, which is the whole purpose behind the shofar. We have in the Sedra the mention of the Arba Minim and Sukkos. The Ari HaKadosh Zatzal says in the Sefer Likutim on Tehillim that Etrog is the Notarikon, the letters of Etrog, Aleph Taf Resh Gimel, stands for Al Tivoeni Regal Gava. It's a Pasuk in Tehillim, Perek Lamed Vav, Pasuk Yubeis. Let not the foot of arrogance come to me. Al Tivoeni Regal Gava. That's Esrog. And the Esrog is asking, please let me not be Guy Vidic. And in fact, it's Dafka the Esrog who has to be worried about Gaiva. Why? Because the Esrog is the min that has it all. We know that some of the minim have taste and others have smell, but the Esrog has it all, has the taste, has the smell, and therefore it represents one who has Torah and Maisim Tovim and all the Hidurim. And therefore, since he has it all, he has to be worried about Gaiva. As it says in Chovas HaLevavos, in Shar Avodas Elokim, Perek Dalet, that one of the Hasidim said to his Talmidim, Ilu lo hayu lachem avonos, if you would not have any sins, he told his Talmidim, hayiti mefached aleichem imashu gadol min avonos. You know, then, if you didn't have any sins, I'd be worried about you concerning something which is even greater than sin. So they said, what can be greater than sin? He answered him, gaiva, haughtiness. As the Pasuk says, tolav as Hashem kol gvalev. It's abomination to Hashem, someone who's haughty. So it comes out from this Chovas HaLevavos that if a person didn't have any averas, so then there's a danger that he might be gaivadik, and that's even worse. Worse than the averas. Mashma, though, what do we see from here? That if a person has averas, then he's nothing to be gaivadik about. Only somebody who has no averas, he is, or at least a right to be gaivadik, and therefore he has to be careful. But somebody who has averas, what is he Paul Gaiva about? He does averas. It's a famous story of the couple that came to Maran Rabbi Aaron Leib Steinman, Shlita, and he asked him, what's going on? So the husband, he was well-to-do, and even though he's well-to-do, he drove an old car. It was like a 10-year-old car, and it was like falling apart, whatever. And his wife, she claimed that, we have time to switch to a brand new car, top of the line, expensive car, because they can afford it. So why not? So she wanted a fancy car. So Rav Aaron Leib turned to the man and says, okay, so what's the big deal? So what's the problem? So he said, well, I'm worried about Ayin Hara, said the man. I don't want people to be jealous of me. They're going to see me with this fancy car. They're going to look, wow, look at that guy, whatever. And I'm afraid of Ayin Hara. So that's my Shaila. Should I be worried about Ayin Hara if I get a fancy car or not? So Rav Aaron Leib turned to the man and said, tell me something. Can I test you on all of Shas? So the man said, test me about what kind of question is that? He said, I'm not an Avreich. I don't learn all day. He says, okay, fine, says Rav Aaron Leib. Says to the man, what about a Seder? Seder Moed? Seder Nashim? Nezikin? No. Rav Aaron Leib says, okay, so what about a Mesechet? Just one Mesechet. I test you on any Mesechet in Shas. Just one Mesechet. I test you on a Mesechet? Also not. Well, what about a Perek? Also not. So then he told the man, oh, you can go ahead and buy the car. He says, why? He says, jealous? Why would anybody be jealous of you? You don't even know one parak of Gemara. What's there to be jealous about? The Etrog is liable to be Bivadic, because the Etrog, in fact, does have it all. Question is, why doesn't the Etrog have a right to brag? If it has it all, why doesn't it have a right to be proud? Look, he has it all. The answer is, what the Gana Kadosh Ha'oev Yisrael, the Apta Rav, once said. He says, I don't have any problem. I don't have to struggle with the meat of Gaiva. Why? Because all I think about is the following. That nine Apta Ravs don't make a minyan. But 10 wagon drivers, they make a minyan. They can say the Varsha Pekadusha and the Shechina comes there. 10 wagon drivers, 9 of me, 9 after Rabs don't make a minion. 10 simple wagon drivers do, so what do I have to be proud about? So too with the Esrog. Yes, it's a priya, it's hadar, it's beautiful, it has everything, but when it's by itself, what is it? Nothing. You can't make a bracha on just an Esrog. doesn't have any value unless it's with the lulav and hadassim and harabas as well. We should all be zeiche to have all the good midas and realize that only when we have achdus and we're all together can we be proud, and Hashem should be proud of us and bring us soon the Mashiach Tzidkenu. Amen.